Amen. Lord, we do thank you that we can just gather here before you and just praise your name. And you truly are a good, good Father. And we thank you for that. And Lord, we just ask your blessing upon this service and just open each heart to receive what you have to say. I pray, Lord, just anoint me. I just speak words of the Spirit and be penetrating. And Lord, that you would just use this in a mighty way to understand you and your relationship with us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, we have a nice title for the message this morning. Friends. All right. Friends. Here. Let's look at, just to get ready, let's look here, and we'll start off with John 15:15. John 15:15. Now remember, this is Jesus speaking to us. This is Jesus speaking. John 15:15 says this: "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." You know, when I look at Jesus, when I look at Jesus, I'm moved by his love for me, his indwelling power, his majesty, his self-sacrificing death on the cross to pay for my sins, his powerful future return, and the awe of spending eternity with him in heaven. Amen? That's me. However, just personally, me, I'm just being honest with you, I'm a little rattled at calling him my friend. I mean, it just, you know, it's kind of makes me a little uneasy. It just, all the other titles I'm into, you know, but this one says, "No, I'm your friend." And I'm thinking, all right, what does that mean? You know, I don't know quite how to handle that. So we see Jesus making the point, called you friends, so we have to believe him, what he said. You know, I have to believe what he said. And you see as he introduces this section, that verse, we see in verse 11, you see in verse 11, don't have an overhead, but we see in verse 11 where he's introducing these verses, he goes this, he says, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." So, you know, the context is what he's saying here. And so, we are joyful because of our relationship with him. We are joyful. I don't know that anybody has ever come up to me and called me Mr. Joyful. But, I mean, that's what he's really is saying here. And when you look at it, you know, he says that our joy may be full. When you look up that word full, it literally means, and this is literally kind of one of the meanings, it means crammed full. Crammed full or perfect. And it says, so that your joy, you may just be crammed full of joy. And no one has ever told me I was crammed full of joy. It's like, so I'm just taking this personal, okay? I'm looking at this. So he said, "I want your joy. I want you to be crammed full of joy." Now the world's kind of going nuts, all right? So you're thinking, "Oh my goodness, you know, we can get really frustrated." He goes, "Why? What? No, you should be crammed full of joy. Why? Because of him. Because of Jesus." Okay, I mean, I put this in the same category where it says, "Rejoice always, be crammed full of joy." I'm thinking, okay, so the Lord fully knows what's going on, and yet this is what he leaves with us. And so, and also, shouldn't be too surprised of him calling us friends. That's not unusual. I mean, he's done it before. Even in the Old Testament, and in James 2, verse 23, I'm going to have an over here, in James 2, verse 23, it says, "Abraham believe God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. So there's a whole new dynamic, you know, where I'm saying, you know, just okay, just fall down and worship God and his return and spend eternity with heaven. He goes, yeah, but you're my friend. You're my friend. I'm calling you friend. And so he's really putting these things in a different context, and he's definitely talking to his disciples that he had just spent 3 years with, but he's certainly talking to all of us. Jesus is interested in us as friends. He's interested in us as friends. Jesus and believers as friends have a very unique bond. Unique bond. Jesus considers our relationship with him personal, intimate, and friendly. And friendly. Now, there's a old hymn, I'm sure any of you church-going folks from years ago, there was an old hymn, and it was entitled, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And it was written in 1855. So this hymn really, so I looked it up, read it, and I said, this hymn really powerfully expresses, you know, the inside about Jesus being a friend. So I'm going to read it to you. I'm not going to sing it to you. I'm going to read it to you. I'm not going to read all four stanzas, but I'm just going to read a couple of stanzas. And all these guys, as you know, just transparent, I'm not a big fan of hymns. Okay, I'm just not. I wasn't raised in the church. You know, I don't like E minor. You know, it's just not. When I turn the radio on, I don't listen to hymns, you know, ever. I don't know if y'all do. And so it just never has to been, you know, in the forefront of my experience is hymns at all. However, when you read them, I mean, it's like you're reading a sermon. I mean, it's like there's really a lot of depth in what they say. I mean, you're like, holy cow. I mean, these guys are, you know, they're, you know, putting a lot of meat in these hymns. And it's like they really are, should be taken seriously. And this one, too, in 1855, okay. And so this is what this guy wrote. You know, so there's really a depth to what he said. And so I'll just read this. He goes, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sin and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Now, I'm just like, my socks are convicted off, you know. I just want to just like. Then verse 2 says this. Have we trials and temptation? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. They say, Lord Jesus. I mean, that is like, okay. And, of course, it ties in what Jesus said before. See, you should be crammed full of joy. Well, this is why we're crammed full of joy, because of him and what he's done, and realizing it's a realization who he is. Who he is. So when I'm convicting myself, well, why aren't I crammed full of joy? Is because I really don't realize who he is. That's my issue. I don't really realize who he is. And if I did, I'd be crammed full of joy. Okay. So y'all could pray for me next Sunday when I come in. You'll see how far I've gotten. Okay. How joyful I am. Now, so what we have here is that with Jesus as our friend, full of his joy. Now, listen. With Jesus is our friend, full of his joy, we are to love Jesus' other friends. I mean, listen to what it says. Look at, I do have an overhead for this one. John 15:12 says this. Now this is just flowing. This is all in a context here. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. He's our friend. Okay, now, I mean, that's hard enough. Now he goes, I gotta love you like that. I said, well, that's, I don't mean anything against you, but that's even harder, okay, than him. It's like, okay, folks, you know, you're my friend. But do you see the context there where Jesus, and he's looking at, well, you're my friend, so are you. So there's an interaction with everybody, is his friends. And that's what he's communicating. And it's also a good reminder that we look at the time. This, what he's doing, he's communicating to these people on Thursday. He's talking to these folks Thursday night. Okay? He's crucified Friday. See, he knows full well what's happening here. He's, you're my friend. He's telling him, and he knows he's going to be crucified Friday. And so he's setting in place a dynamic that he wants his disciples to carry out because he is going to be with the Father. Now, understanding Jesus' love for us enables us to love one another. Jesus loves us without reservation, without limit, and expects us to do the same. Understanding Jesus' love for us enables us to love one another. So Wallace, when you don't love other folks like I do, that means that you don't understand how much I love you. You see how that brings us back to the relationship of Christ working within his body and the depth of it? And it's like, you think about it, you know. And now granted, people have a great ability to irritate each other. And the Lord knows that. But he says, okay, even through that, you work through that because we have a great ability, using my words, to irritate Jesus. And he loves us through that and brings us to where we're supposed to be. So he's passing, he said, you should show that same love that I love you, and how you understand that should flow out, and what you understand is what you're going to love one another with, who are my friends. You know, it's like, well, he's not my friend. Jesus, well, he's my friend. All right, I guess he's got to be my friend too. You see what I'm saying? The dynamic there is a little overwhelming. It really is overwhelming. And then he goes on to say this. And this is what I love about the scriptures. I'm challenged by the scriptures. He'll say you something, one difficult thing. You know, say, oh my goodness, I'm going to see what the original says or something. I'm going to look in. It's like, oh man, it's more difficult than what he said. The more I learn, the more difficult it gets. You know, he's not giving us a bop on something. So he's set this up, and we're going, gosh, that's a challenge. Then he says this. Are we all challenged? Okay. Then he says this. John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. Now, granted, he's talking to his disciples and how he loves them. But he says, you know, you should love, you know, me, and I'm calling you friends. And he says, love one another. And then he says, no greater love does someone have than lay down his life for his friends. He means, really, like, and I'm taking this personally, so you can put out, I'm not putting it, he said, I got to, not only do I need to love you, I need to really love you, like a whole bunch, okay? It's like, are you willing to step and die for somebody like, again, tomorrow I'm going to die for you. No greater love was that. But he's also communicating, I'm showing you how to love. Are you willing to love my other friends? My other friends. That's what he said the verse before. And he just went, took it deep to a whole nother level. So it's like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Now, John, who wrote the Gospel of John, now this is a quotation from Jesus. Well, John, who wrote the Gospel of John, also wrote 1 John. Same guy wrote it. Okay, so we have here Jesus loves us as friends, and Jesus is our example of true love. True love. Now, I've said this before, and, you know, I pick on your children and stuff, and you take it, you know, I'm being funny and stuff, you know, and you got one 16-year-old saying to the other 16-year-old, oh, I love you. Get out of here. There ain't no way you even know what you're talking about. You don't know what just uttered out of your mouth, you know, because Jesus is our example of true love, going to the cross. You know, 16-year-old to 16-year-old, will you go to the cross for me? Oh, hey, lady. Oh, man, you know, I just want to take you to the prom. I didn't, you know, we just kind of have a beginning and an end to this love thing. Okay, what are you talking about? See, there are certain things you just shouldn't say often to you. Anyway, you get what I'm saying. So Jesus is telling us that he is our example of true love. He said, okay. Now, and one of my favorite verses that the Lord taught me in talking about a marriage relationship, and you know what it says, love your wife like Christ loved the church. Go to the cross, buddy. See, this is what he's talking about. See, talking about. So you want to be kind of, you know, watch who you say this to. And fine, they may take you up on it. But you see what I'm saying? But you see the consistency of what Jesus is saying. You love me, you love my friends. No greater love than lay down your life for your friends. Jesus shows us love. Then he says, husbands, love your wife just like Christ loved the church. Now, you know, that's like 100%. That's not like 85% or every other day. You see what I'm saying? It's like, holy cow, there's like a really big commitment to this. Commitment to this. Or I love you till you irritate me. Yeah, I mean, it's just, nothing works. Nothing works. You get in this, the God doesn't give you an out of it. He doesn't give you an out. And so he's making a point here. He definitely is making a point here as we look at this. So look at what John also wrote in John, 1 John 3:16. Now that's easy for you to remember. John 3:16, remember 1 John 3:16. Okay, look what he wrote in 1 John 3:16. By this we know love. Amen. Everybody puts up their hands. By this we know love. Okay. By this we know love, that Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. I mean, that's what he said. I mean, that's what he said right there. And you go, so you see a commitment to one another. Very similar to the same is the commitment Jesus made to us individually. And he said, and so he's saying, now, therefore, you see that, you understand what I did for you. Now, therefore, this is what you're supposed to do for others. Now, at the very least, you go, maybe I should be more understanding. Maybe I kind of should. They irritate me, that kind of say, where are you coming from? What are you going through? The process here, you know, because you're dealing with somebody that, say, irritates you, and you say, no, you're dealing with Jesus' friend. Okay. All right. Again, you're really making this hard, buddy. But okay, one more time. You see what I'm saying? But this is what he's saying. I mean, we cannot lose here what he is saying. Now, also what it puts here, and you see this, is how he looks at the church. This is how Jesus looks at the church. This is how he's looking at it, you know. And he goes, and he's telling people, I want you to look at the church. I want you to look at the church the way I look at the church. See? And the church, and the church, when you see it's presented in the New Testament, it is a living body. Jesus refers to it as a living body. See? And then he also refers to it as his body. See? And so there's a connection and a function that he is asking of the church. That he's first, because you don't, and here's the other piece, and you see other places. We don't have the capacity, I'll make it personal, I don't have the capacity to love everyone the way I should. But as I understand Jesus' love for me and what it is, then I have the capacity to love everybody else. You see? So my first goal is to be able to love everybody the way Jesus says. I have to love him first and receive the capacity from him. Then I naturally love everyone else. Because I'd have to. You're his friends. You see what I'm saying? That's how the Lord puts this. That's how the Lord puts this. And so that attitude, when that attitude permeates, it causes a dynamic, a functioning, living dynamic that reflects Christ. And then you have what? Individuals, okay. And it's each individual. But then you have a whole body that God said reflects Christ. And he's telling us how you do it. He's telling us how you do it right here. Now, so what you have here, and I'm going to read this. Because love has its origin in God, those who belong to God should demonstrate love in their relationship with one another. The origin of it's from God. The demonstration of that love is loving one another. See? The whole thing. Now, it is the proof of our own divine origin. He said, man, he focused on God and receiving love and showing out love. That's a picture. It's proof of our divine origin. That's we came from love and understanding the love of Christ. So that's our divine origin and is reflected in we love others. See, that's what he's telling us. That's what he's telling us right here. Whoever truly loves his brother not only is born of God, but also knows God. Now you're going, okay, did he really say that? He said, yeah, the one who loves his brother is the one who knows God. I don't like him. Then you must not know me. Well, yeah, I know you. I just don't like him. I mean, there's two different things going on. God says, no, there's no difference. There's no difference. God said, I'm just letting you know, there's no difference in this. Jesus pronounces his own love for us and calls us to love like he loves. So we're all like, wait a minute. It's kind of like, when Jesus, I think it's in John, when Jesus is talking, to Peter, what he's got to suffer, and he goes, wait a minute, what about John? I mean, telling me this, then what about him? Don't just, and that's what I, want to do. Hey, well, is this what you, wait a minute, what do you mean? What about them? No, it's not about them, it's about me. You see what I'm saying? It's just convicting as all get out, all right? Now, so, 1 John, again, 1 John, I want you to look at 4:7. I mean, you read it and you go, I read it and I said, okay, you did say, that's what you say, that's the truth, Lord. That's the truth. John, 1 John 4:7. Beloved. Who's he talking to? Church. Beloved. Let us love one another. Okay. For love is from God. Oh, okay. Love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever loves others is born of God and knows God. I know God because I gave $5 million to help build a hospital. You know, okay. No, that's not what I said. They may, and that may be good, and there may be motives around that. And he said, but what I'm talking about here is I'm talking about something different. And whoever is love one another, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. He's talking about loving your brothers and sisters. He's talking about loving your brothers. Now, God loved the whole world, and he tells us to go to the whole world. You know, he does that. But he says you need to love your brothers and sisters. How much? As much as I did. How much was that? I died for them. Jesus, stop it. Stop it. What are you doing? What are you doing? See, he said, I'm telling you how to live the Christian life. He said, I'm telling you how. I'm telling you what needs to be done here. You know. Yeah, it's funny when you look at this too, it strikes me and drives home another point. When you read things like this, you don't see a to-do list. Okay, give 10% to the church, which I think is a wonderful thing to do. Okay, but it's not in this category. You know, it doesn't, you know, and, you know, work hard at your job. Do this or do that, or these are the things you to do here and all the to-do list. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. What he says in these things, he goes, you love one another. Then all that stuff comes out of it. You don't put that stuff in it. No, the love, and then out of the love comes stuff. Your particular stuff that you are particularly supposed to do. You see what I'm saying? And so it's real clear, and it explains a lot of other things. And this is, there's, and it also explains how devastating legalism is. Legalism absolutely destroys, okay, the work of God. In fact, just off the top of my head, I think it's Galatians 5:4. I think Galatians 5:4. And it says, if you're under the law, you're alienated from Christ. Any place else say that? If you do this, you're alienated from Christ. No. Given all things. But if you're under the law, you're alienated from Christ. If you're doing this for the law, you don't have any part of me. The law is to condemn. The law is to show us we fall short. And if we put ourselves under the law to be good, we alienate from Christ. Well, we don't have the law. What motivates us? We love God. And we know how much God loves us. And then we understand how much he loves us. And then we love others. Christianity. There it is. There it is. Right there. And then you love one another. And the Bible says, they will know you are my disciples because you love one another. What do I got to do to be a disciple for Christ? Try loving one another. What's the second thing? Isn't there no second thing? It's just the first thing. Love one another. So it's like, oh, I'm going to read that verse again because it's amazing because there's a challenge here. People say, I know God. I just don't like people. You know, it's like, I don't think that works. Look, 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves is born of God and knows God. Remember the teacher they came up to Jesus and says, "Tell me the greatest commandment." You know, that's what a teacher would want to know, so I can put it on my list and teach people. Okay, what's the greatest commandment? He goes, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. The whole of the prophets hang on this. And love one another as you love yourself." It's just what he's saying here. It's here, same thing. It's the same thing. You love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. It impacts your behavior. I love God with all heart and soul, but I'm glad I have the law of thou shalt not steal. Because I'd steal if I didn't have that law. No, you love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and you don't steal. You see what I'm saying? And that's what Christianity is. That's what it's saying. It's the relationship that molds you and flows out of you and that presents Christ. It's not your to-do list. Now, loving Christ with all your heart, mind, and soul, and then loving others, he may call on you to do lots of different things that he's behind. Right? He'll call you to do things that he's behind. Now, you know what we read in chapter 14? We love him with Lord our God with all heart and mind and soul. We love others as ourselves. And it says, ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Do you see where that came? I like to put it first. Ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Then work through all this people stuff later. You see, it just flows, chapter 14, you know. Well, if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, love others as yourself, hey, man, you ask anything, I'll do it for you because you're in the right spot to do what I want you to do. Just ask, and I'll give it to you abundantly. Doesn't it make sense? I mean, incredible. It's just incredible here. Now, the demand for love arises from Jesus' command, and the meaning of love is found in Jesus' example. You want to love? It's all in Jesus. It's all in Jesus. Okay? He commanded it, and he gives us the meaning. Love. Okay? And the meaning, self-sacrificially. Know God. Okay, Jesus is the example. From his love, we learn what love is. From his love, we learn what love is. Realizing the love of Christ for us gives us the ability to love. Whereby Christ calls us friends. That's the reason he calls us friends. That's the reason he calls us friends. John 15:14. You are my friends if you do what I command you. We need to pay attention to what Jesus said. Now, what did he say? Go feed the poor. No, that's not what he said here. That's not what he said here. He said to love him and to love your brothers and sisters. That's the command here. You read it. That's the command. Now, we can go other places, look up other commands, and shoehorn it in here. But that's not what he said, all right? The friend deal is you do what he commands, and you do what he commands in context with this section. And we are, and what does he command us to do? What did he command us to do here? Love one another. Answer. Well, what about all the other stuff? See, if you love him first and love one another, the other stuff comes. You'll do the other stuff and love doing it. You see? You ever have somebody come and they have a vision and they want to give you their vision? Okay? They give you. And they'll say, just sell it to you. Oh, gosh, that's the greatest thing in the world. So you help them and you're absolutely miserable in their vision. Have you ever been miserable in somebody else's vision? Come on. You know why? Because it's not your vision. It's their vision. They just put their vision on you, and you took it, and you're miserable. No, you wait for God to give you your vision, which comes from loving God and loving one another, and then God gives you a vision of what you should do. Now, as pastor, a lot of times, you know, often I get other people's vision. Often. You know, and it's nice, and they're nice, and stuff like that. But I've learned at this age, and that God doesn't want me to do other people's vision. And so that really takes a lot off of you, you know. And I can be real kind, they'll share their vision. What do you think? I said, oh, that's wonderful that you want to do that. I said, I really can't do that. He says, what do you think we're doing? I don't know, it's your vision. God will tell you what you should do. Praise Jesus. And if I can be some assistance, I don't say this, but I think it, but it's not my vision. It's good, but it's not my vision. You see what I'm saying? It just makes so much sense. And what God is telling us to do. So, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Love one another. Love one another. It's like, people will look at this, especially a lot of people, some of us here are just to-do people. I mean, you can, and praise Jesus for to-do people. Unfortunately, I'm not. Now, my wife, bless her heart. God bless her. Because she's to-do. She does stuff, you know. And does. And she has proven a great motivation to me to get things done. All right? And so she naturally does those things. But you have people that are not so much of a to-do person, you know, and you think, well, if you just love one another, if you just love one, nothing will get done. Because that's the logical thing. Nothing will get done. But that's not true. If you understand how much God loves you, and you love Him back, and you love others, you will do what God wants you to do. You see? That's how it works. That's how it works. And He even does it with people like me that aren't to-do people. See? Lord, I don't know if you love me, you love others, then these are the things you are good. Okay, all right, I'll do, I'm with you. You see what I'm saying? That's how it works. That's how Christianity works. Legalism, you write that down. Galatians 5:4. You're under the law. You're alienated from Christ. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. This is not legalism or self-discipline. It's a loving relationship just like Jesus had with His Father. It's being like Jesus. This is what Jesus did. This is what Jesus did. It's relationship had with His Father. I love John 5:30. He says, I only do what the Father tells me. That's what He said. Jesus, you don't get nothing done. Yeah, I get a lot of done. I'm going to do what the Father tells me. See, and they think that we should only do what the Father tells us. John 5:30. And if you love Him, love one another, He will tell you. You'll do stuff. You will do stuff. Fascinating. Jesus had revealed to His disciples all that the Father had given Him. Isn't that important? Now, He said that. That's verse. Jesus had told them everything. He said, I told you everything. Therefore, they knew what to do. How did they know what to do? He just said it. I told them everything. See? So they knew what to do. But the key is, He told them everything already. Already. He told them what to do. Now, well, how do I get there? And oh my gosh, I got to go to seminary, which may be good or bad. But no, you love Him and know how much He loves you. And then you love one another and He'll tell you what to do. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. Therefore, they knew what to do. And they also knew that God would ultimately bring it to a successful conclusion. Why would they know God would bring it to successful conclusion? Because He told them. He told them. It's, okay. It'll work. Because He told me. He told me. Now again, to be redundant, how do we get there? He loves me this much. I love Him back. I love one another. And then he tells me what to do. Ask anything in my name. I will do it. Chapter 14. So, actually, it says it, verse 7, chapter 15. He repeats himself. So, friendship is a partnership of mutual esteem and affection. I'm telling you, that's what he says, and this is what I struggle with. My friend. I mean, it's almost like I'm going to tell you, you don't want to be friends with me. I mean, okay, it's just like, yeah, you're really stepping down in your what you're working with here. But when he says he's a friend, and what a friend means, Jesus is saying friendship is a partnership of mutual esteem. Jesus goes, you're my friend. There's a mutual esteem. Really? Yeah, really. There's a mutual esteem. There's a mutual affection. Now, I'm not me. I'm just like, hey, it's mutual esteem. Okay, I esteem you, but I can't. You can't. Hey, no way. You're my friend. No, I esteem you. I have affection for you. Yeah, and I have affection. We're friends. You're my friend. If you do what I told you to do, what's that? Love God. How much he loves you, love one another. See, we're friends. Mutual esteem, affection. Ask anything in my name. I'll do it. I'll do it for you. See? And so, we're not tools, but we're partners. We're not tools, but we're partners. God is looking for friends. Abraham believed God. God declared him as righteous. And it says in James, and he was a friend of God. Abraham was a friend of God. It's like, all right. Now, here we go. Now we're going to close with this section. And I saw something in here that was just fascinating to me. And so, you know, you get the benefit of my fascination when I look here. But here's how he closes this section. Now, he closes it one way, which he repeats just what he said. He repeats what he said. It's funny, when you look back up in chapter 13, another chapter, he tells us to love one another. Then he goes in a big deal to love one another here. And now what he does in chapter 15, verse 17, he repeats it. Just love one another. You figure it like, okay, get the point. You get it. You get what I'm talking about because I keep repeating myself. And so look at this verse. Jesus repeats what he says, all the things we just talked about. John 15, 17, he says this, these things I command you so that you will love one another. Okay, can you got it now? I mean, I'm looking, do you have what he meant? Love one another. And he's given us the whole context of what that means and how that happens, all right? And how important it is, how important it is. Now, no doubt he wants us to pay attention to what he just said. This verse, he's dealing with things he just said. Now, what's interesting here, this is the thing that struck me. The word so, you see the so on up there? I underlined it for you, I think. I did. So, okay? And it really is so that. And we have so that, but the word in the original is just so. Okay, they added that so we could understand. Okay, the translators. Okay, so is important. The so is important to understand what Jesus is telling us. That is so is important to get his point across. So means, S-O means, there's a word there. It means for a purpose, the word means for a purpose, or to explain something, or to show an intent so that we can grasp the purpose. So you see what he's saying here. See how important it is. Now I want to let you know something. And I don't know why. I love the NIV. I really do. But they left it out. They didn't include so in there, okay? So it's like, I just don't think they should have left it out because the word is there. The original Greek has so in it that has this meaning. So what Jesus is telling us with that so, I command you these things so. Okay, Jesus is telling us he is our friend, so with the intent or so that as his friends we will love one another. You with me? And this is repetition, but he's making a point of the repetition. These things I commanded you. Why? Why did he say all this stuff we've been talking about this morning? These things I commanded you, so I can explain something, so I can get my intent across, so that you can understand. All this is so you will get it. You will get that you will love one another. His whole purpose is that we'll love one another. He also is kind of making a point. We need that, or he might have been looking to me personally and said, Wallace really needs this. You know? See, I've commanded you. I've told you all this. So you'll love one another. How can we have skipped this? How can we skip this and function as a body of Christ? How can we skip this and function as a disciple of Christ? He said, listen, I did this so with the intent to explain you love one another. And now you look at this. Look at what Jesus did. Look at what Jesus has done so that we all can be friends. It's the same thing. This is what Jesus has done so that we can all be friends. And look what he did. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life and be his friends and love his friends. That's what he said. So his friends, why don't we just pray? We're all among family, and based on what Jesus said, we're friends. And what Jesus said, you need to love everybody because we're friends. And by this, the world will know we're his disciples. So friends, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful and thankful to you that you call us friends, that you call each believer friends, that you love us is friends, but also that there is a mutual love, a mutual affection, God, a mutual esteem, that as your friends, that you walk with us, and talk with us, you never leave us, and you're interested to hear what we say. You're interested in what we're going through, and that in all these things we're walking through together with you. You truly are our friend for all eternity. And God, we give thanks to you that you loved us that much. And we thank you that you remind us to love your other friends who have trusted in you. We give thanks to you, dear Jesus. We give thanks to you, dear Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.